said, whatever your ministers or your rabbi says halal in the Quran, do you say it's halal? He said, yes, of course. He said, whatever your ministers or your rabbis or your cardinals or whatever say is haram, even though it's halal, do you say it's haram? He said, yes. He said, so you worship them. So that means, if you sisters obey your husband, when Allah tells you to do one thing, the Prophet tells you to do one thing, and your husband tells you to do something in opposition to Allah and His Messenger, you have made your husband a ma'bud. You worship him. There's no difference for you saying Allah or Akbar. There's no difference. If you obey him, you are worshiping him. It's just like making sense. It's just like bowing down and making ruku. If you brothers obey the United States government, when the United States government tells you to do this, Allah and His Messenger says do that, if you obey them, you have made the United States government ma'bud. You're saying, La ilaha illa Washington. La ilaha illa White House. La ilaha illa George Bush. That's what you're saying. Why? Because Allah is the only one that has the right to say this is haram and this is halal. If you say something is halal when Allah says something is haram and you follow that thing, then you are worshiping that thing. If your imam or your sheikh or whoever says you cannot have more than one wife, brothers, if you do it, I'm going to throw you out. If you follow him in that, you worship him. And Allah says in the Quran, have you not seen those who take their own nuts, their own desires, their own hawa, their own, you know, whims and ideas of God besides Allah? So even you yourself can become a ma'bud. Yeah. You end up worshiping yourself. Because if Allah says do this, and you say, well, I want to do this, you just worship yourself. Mm. You just worship yourself. Mm. See how broad this thing is, worship? It's not a small thing like making salat, you know, making wudu. No. No. The United States government has something called the Constitution of the United States. They have made this document a pseudo-religious document. When you hear the people, they say, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. What they really mean in Arabic is what? No. When they say it's unconstitutional, in Arabic, they're saying it's haram. You see? It's haram. No one has the right to make anything haram except Allah. So if you obey them in the Fifth Amendment, if you obey them in the 11th Amendment, if you obey them in that, willfully obey them in that, you have worshipped them. You are doing no different than the person who says, Allahu Akbar. You make ruku to that thing. You have taken that thing as an object in worship besides Allah. That clear? 8 o'clock. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Anything that I said wrong is from myself. Anything that I said correct is from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. أما بعد, I'd like to say first of all that I'm happy to be back from this trip. It was a long and tiresome trip, and it was, alhamdulillah, even though it was extremely crowded and the number of people was a record high. It was close to 4.5 million people. Alhamdulillah, it was one of the easier hajjs that I've ever made. It was really pretty smooth. It was really hot too. I'm happy to be back in this little bit of heat. You're going to have to remind me, inshallah, it's been so long, exactly where we left off. Anybody have any... Nobody else, huh? How about you? You remember the last place? Were you at the last class before I left?
Mm-hmm.
You remember exactly where we left off?
We were talking about
Al-Hajj. Oh, that could have been the last one.
Yeah. And then the little...
No. Nah. Couldn't have been.
Yeah, that's what?
That's the only class that I came to, and you said that you were going away and you would be back. Really? That's what you left off?
And I checked back last week and you were not here.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see if we can get some agreement on that. You remember the last place we left off?
I can play the
game. Okay, so we didn't talk about Yeah, no, we went way past that.
What did you say?
We talked about, yes, I know for a fact we dealt with Tawheed al-Rabb.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
You did that.
Yeah, well, that's way past that.
Oh, okay. I had to.
Last thing we went to was out there, a lot being the creek.
Did we just do with Tawheed al-Ilah? Did we go to Tawheed al-Rabb? Okay, I'm kind of thinking, I know those would tell, because what the sister just said was like the second week.
That was, do it.
That was the first or the second week. We had two other weeks after that.
Right.
So maybe she wasn't here.
No, I was here.
Okay, but you remember Tawheed al-Rabb? We said that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody have any notes for that?
Creator. Allah.
I mean, yeah, that's one of the aspects of it, but we said that the Tawheed al-Rabb meant our belief in the oneness of Allah as the Rabb. And we mentioned what is the meaning of Rabb.
Right.
The literal meaning of Rabb was what?
Sayyid.
That's right. See? That's way after the other thing you mentioned about.
Okay.
That was like two more weeks.
Okay, what it was that I didn't know which one I wrote for. I had.
Oh, you don't put dates on the paper, huh?
Yeah.
If you put the date on it, it may help you.
Yeah,
yeah, to keep an order, you know, in sequence. Yeah. And then also put class number one, and then class number two, and class number three. That'll help also. It helps you know the sequence.
This is my second class, so this ain't really class number two.
Right.
How many classes?
No, this is class. Yeah,
it's in order. Class number four, class.
Right. See, I only came in two classes.
Oh, okay. Well, I shouldn't have depended on what you did. Okay. So we mentioned that Tawheed, the oneness and belief in oneness and unity of Allah, has three types. Tawheed al-Rabb, Tawheed al-Ilah, and Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. And the first type of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Rabb.
Which was this one you mentioned?
We spell it like this. Tawheed. Tawheed al-Rabb. And we mentioned that, like the sister just said, the Tawheed al-Rabb, that Rabb, the linguistic or the literal dictionary meaning of Rabb, is Sayyid. It's Sayyid. And Sayyid means, like she said, what did you say?
Master or king.
Master or king, something like this. Master or king. That's the literal meaning of Rabb. That's the literal Sayyid. Sayyid.
Is that like
literal meaning is Sayyid. Seen, yeah. Bell. Sayyid. Sayyid. It means master or king. And we gave examples for this. We're not going to go over what examples we gave. We gave one example from the Quran and one example from authentic hadith that gives the proof that Rabb means Sayyid. In the chapter that we gave was chapter 12, verse 42, and the hadith that we gave was hadith called Hadith Jibril. Alright? Then we mentioned that the religious meaning of Rabb was what? That's the literal meaning. What's the religious meaning?
Lord.
No. The religious meaning of Rabb, and we say we believe in the oneness of Allah as the Rabb, Tawheed al-Rabb. We said that Rabb religiously has three types. It's broken down to three characteristics. What was the first one?
Al-Khaliq.
Right. Both of you, she said it in Arabic and you said it in English. Al-Khaliq or Al-Khaliq, that he's the creator. That means when we say we believe in the oneness of Allah as the Rabb, that means we also say we believe that Allah is one as being the creator, that there's no other creator besides him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What was the second one? No, Al-Malik. Not Malik, Malik. Al-Malik or Al-Mulk.
The
possessor. That he's one, he has oneness in his ownership and possessorship. That he's the only one that owns everything. Everything he owns. Everything that you can see and you can't see. Alright, and the third and final one was?
Originated?
No.
The administrator
and the commander. He gives the commandment. He's the one who commands and administrates and regulates all affairs. That's al-amr, and also al-tadbir or mudabbir. That was another word we gave for, right?
I didn't get that.
You didn't get that? That's mudabbir. Ted B. This was the third one. Administrator was Ted D. Or you can say Al Amr. Al Amr means he is the administrator. These are the three. These are the three admin. These are the three aspects of Allah, of our belief of Allah as the Rabb. Right? No, this is something else.
That's something else.
Marbu is the things that Allah has created. Everything that Allah has created. That's al-alamin. When we say alhamdulillahi rabb al-alamin, praise be to Allah, the Rabb of al-alamin. Al-alamin is al-marbu. That's everything other than Allah. Everything other than Allah. Okay? So, any questions about that, which we dealt with this, that last class? So we can go to the next one now? No questions? Anybody? Okay, now we go to the next thing. The next thing is our belief in the second type of tawheed. Tawheed al-ilah. Tawheed al-ilah. توحيد الإله. توحيد الإله means the belief in the oneness of Allah as being the one and only true God. The one and only true God. And that He is the one to be worshipped. You've also probably studied this, anybody who's studied this before, they call it Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. So what does this mean? Tawheed al-Ilah. First, before we mention what is the religious meaning, Tawheed al-Ilah, we need to find out what is the meaning of al-Ilah. Al-Ilah. The meaning of al-Ilah. Okay, can you see this back there, sister? But I'm ready. El Ilah means El Ma'bud. El Ma'bud. The Arabic synonym. The Arabic synonym. The word that equals the literal meaning of El Ilah is El Ma'bud. That's what El Ilah means in Arabic. It means El Ma'bud. And al-ma'bud means anything. Anything. Al-ilah and al-ma'bud are synonyms. They both mean the exact same thing. I repeat. Al-ilah means al-ma'bud. Al-ma'bud means anything that is taken as an object of worship. Anything. Not something. Anything. That can come to your mind or can't come to your mind. That's taken as an object of worship. That's the meaning. The literal, linguistic, simple, plain old dictionary meaning of al-ilah. Al-ilah means something that is taken as an object of worship. Al-ma'bud means something that is taken as an object of worship. I'm not specifying, I'm not restricting the meaning. I didn't say it deserved to be worshipped. I said it just means anything that's taken as an object of worship. So could this piece of chocolate be an ilah?
Yes.
Could this cookie be an ilah?
Yes.
Could this tablecloth be an ilah?
Yes.
Can this sister be an ilah?
Yes.
Can you be an ilah?
Yes.
Can the light be an ilah?
Yes.
Can angels be an ilah?
Yes.
Can prophets be an ilah?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make that clear. Anything that's taken by anyone as an object to worship is called al-ilah. Right? And this is, of course, this A-L, for those who don't know, A-L means the, or the, T-H-E. If you just want to say indefinite, just say an-ilah, we just say, you know, when we got to AL. This makes it the something. But well, this by itself means just a something. Alright? And Elad. And when we say La ilaha illallah. This word right here is the word ilah. I wrote it up here also with the definite article. This says el ilah. This just says ilah without the love. So this is what we say to write it in English. La I. La ilaha illallah. Here it is again. Here it is again. This A on the end is something grammatical, but the word here is ilah. See right here? Ilah. Ilah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Who?
Illallah.
So an ilah is anything as taken as an object of worship. Okay, now. And the equal word for this, or the synonym for this, is al-ma'bud. Al-ma'bud. And for the brothers and sisters who are studying Arabic, you write it like this. Al-ma'bud. 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 Alright? Now, that's the literal meaning. The literal, that's not the religious meaning of Tawheed al-Ilah. That's the literal meaning of the word Ilah. Alright? The religious meaning of our belief is this right here. Tawheed al-Ilah. The religious meaning of Tawheed al-Ilah and the belief in the oneness of Allah as being the God or the Ilah is that the person believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only true ilah. Because Allah is an ilah. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I mean, we worship him, right? Mm-hmm. So he's an ilah. But he's the only true one. He is al-ilahul haqq. The true ilah. Al-haqq here, they say true. We translate it as true. What it means is, he is the only one that's justified in being worshipped. That's what it means. Some people translate it real loosely. They said, Al-Ilahul Haq. When Allah says, he is Al-Ilahul Haq. They translate Haq, which means, Haq can be translated as true, because it does mean true, right? They translate it as true God, right? They translate Ilah as God, because God is something that's taken as an object of worship. But in actuality, Al-Ilahul Haq means the one God who deserves to be worshipped. That's why when we say La ilaha illallah, people translate it as there is no God except Allah. But that's not true, brothers and sisters. That's not true. I repeat. To translate La ilaha illallah as there is no God but Allah is a mistake. I didn't say it was haram, but it's a big, big, big mistake. You cannot say there is no God but Allah. This is a mistake, and it contradicts the principles that we have for Tawheed. It contradicts it. Why? It's because now we go back to the literal meaning of Ilah. What is the literal meaning of Ilah? No, what did we say? We didn't say anything can be worshipped. We didn't say that. Anything that is taken as an object of worship. So if a person loves their child, because love is a form of worship. If a woman loves her husband, love is a form of worship. We're going to come back to what is the meaning of worship in Islam. If a woman loves her husband, or if a man loves his imam, or a group of people love their sheikh, or people love their president, or they love music, or they whatever, more than they love Allah, then they, and to the point where they divert their attention away from the chess game
Zuhr goes by, Salatul Asr goes by, Salatul Maghrib goes by, Salatul Isha goes by, and they still sitting there waiting for the pawn to move. If they do that, then they have actually made that thing, whatever I just mentioned, 11. Why? Because they've taken it as an object of worship. Did they do this? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. No, did they do that? No. But that's not the only form of worship. See? Salat is not the only form of worship. See? Hajj is not the only form of worship. Dua is not the only form of worship. So when we come back to what is the meaning of worship in Islam, then we'll see how people take other things as a god aside Allah. So when we say La ilaha illallah, it's not right to say there is no God except Allah is the translation of La ilaha illallah. This is a big mistake, brothers and sisters. Big mistake. Because there are other ilahs besides Allah. There are. All the things you just mentioned and a whole lot of other stuff. People are worshiping all kinds of stuff. People worship angels. People worship jinn. People worship shaitan. People worship rocks. People worship the rain. People worship fire. People worship the wind. People worship the mountains. People worship the trees. People worship the sun, the moon, the stars. They worship human beings, prophets and messengers. They worship themselves. People walk around saying, I'm Allah. I'm God. They have made themselves an ilah besides Allah. So to say that there is no God except Allah is not right. Because there are. It's just that none of those things that the people are taking as a God are worthy of worship. So in actuality, the meaning of La ilaha illallah really means La ilaha fil wujud bihaqqin illallah. There's no thing that is taken as an object of worship in this existence that justifies in being worshipped except Allah. That's the meaning of it. That's the meaning. Because once you say that there's no, that La ilaha illallah means there's no God of Allah, you are implying that Allah is lying when He says that there are other gods. That's what you're implying. Because Allah says all through the Quran that there are other gods. But He says they're not worthy of worship. But He doesn't negate the fact that they exist. See? If you say La ilaha illallah means there is no other God except Allah, you're saying that no other gods exist. Therefore, you're saying Allah is a liar. A'udhu billah. And you can't say Allah is a liar because Allah speaks the truth. And He says that there are other gods. He's just not worthy of worship. So we need to be very careful when we translate this. So ilah is anything that's taken for an object of worship. And the synonym for it is al-ma'bud. Is Allah an ilah?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, brothers and sisters, the word Allah, the word Allah is actually A-L El-Ilah. But when we say it, it's not El-Ilah, it's El-Law. It means the Allah. The God. That's what it means. Because the other are Ilah. The same as the little ones. They're not really significant. But Allah is the Ilah. You see? And that's why when you see people translate it, they'll translate there is no God with a small g, and then they'll translate Allah with the capital G. See, this is the little one that everybody is worshiping and they should be worshiping. And the one that they should be worshiping, they translate it as with the capital G. So let you know that means Allah, and this means Elah. You follow me? Okay. So now, in this belief, Tawheed al-Elah, literally what it says is the oneness, the belief in the oneness of Allah as the Elah. But the religious meaning of it is that the Muslim has to believe that there is no God that is justified in being worshipped except Allah. He's the only true Elah. All the other ones are false. They're all false. Okay, now, before we go on, any questions about this? We're going to now talk about the meaning of worship. Any questions about this? Nobody? Okay. The Arabic word for worship is al-ibadah. Al-ibadah is the Arabic word for worship.
Al-ibadah. Al-ibadah. That's the Arabic word for worship. Al-ibadah. Okay? Now, write this down, inshallah. The religious meaning, the Islamic religious meaning of the word al-ibadah is that it is a comprehensive term. This is the meaning. It is a comprehensive term. Maybe I'll write it down so you don't have to take some pictures. This is the meaning of ibadah. A comprehensive term indicating any act that Allah is pleased with and love. Whether it is a or it is by word or action, hidden or seen. Did I write it right? A comprehensive term indicating any act that Allah is pleased with and loves, whether it is word or action, hidden or seen. That's the meaning for worship in Islam. I don't know about anywhere else, but in Islam, that's the meaning of worship. Al-ibadah.
That's the literal meaning or the religious?
That's the religious meaning. The religious meaning, the literal meaning for al-ibadah is just worship. That's it. That doesn't tell you too much. But the religious meaning is that it is a comprehensive term. What is a comprehensive term? Al-ibadah. It is a comprehensive term indicating any act that Allah is pleased with and loves, whether it is word or action, whether it is hidden or seen. Anything that falls into that category is considered worship. And anything that falls into that category is acceptable by Allah if the conditions for it are met. Because there's conditions for your actions to be accepted. If you don't have those conditions, then your actions are not accepted. And that means Allah doesn't love it, and He's not pleased with it. Even though it may look like something that the Prophet did, or it may look like something Allah told you to do, if it doesn't fall into those conditions, then it's really not worship. It's something else. Okay, so the religious meaning of our belief in ilah, tawheed al-ilah, is that the person believes that Allah is the true God and that He doesn't have any partners in worship. There's no partners with Allah in worshiping Him. This is the second belief of Tawheed al-Ilah. Tawheed al-Ilah means Allah is one, the only true God who needs to be worshipped. He doesn't have any partners whatsoever. No angel, no jinn, no messenger that's close to Him. The closest prophet to Him, the closest angel, doesn't make any difference what it is. Alright? Now, when we say Tawheed al-Ilah, everybody wrote this down?
I gotta get this.
When we say Tawheed al-Ilah, this, brothers and sisters, the second type of Tawheed, because remember we have three types. Tawheed al-Rabb, Tawheed al-Ilah, and Tawheed asma wa sifat. Tawheed al-Ilah is the second type of Tawheed. This is the one, brothers and sisters, that the prophets and messengers brought. This is the one that they brought. Now, somebody may be saying, well, what does he mean? Wait a minute, we just studied Tawheed al-Rabb. That Tawheed al-Rabb has three types. The belief in the one Allah as He's one and as being the creator. Second is being the one as being the owner, and the third being one as being the administrator. Are you saying, Brother Dawood, that the prophets and messengers from Adam all the way to Muhammad alayhi wa salam, may Allah peace be upon them, that they didn't bring Tawheed al-Rabb? If they, that wasn't their mission, to bring Tawheed or Rabb. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Prophet Adam, the Prophet Noah, the Prophet Idris, the Prophet Lut or Lot, all the way up to Ibrahim, all the way up to Isa ibn Maryam, all the way to the final, last seal of all prophets and messengers, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, alayhi salatu wasalam, they did not come with the da'wah. The da'wah. That's what I'm saying. The da'wah of Allah is your Rabb. You have to know He's your Allah, He's your Rabb. To explain how He's the Rabb, that He's the Creator, He's the owner. They didn't have to come and do this. What is the reason? Somebody tell me. Why did they have to do that? Why did he have to come with this one, Tawheed al-Ilah? And incidentally, brothers and sisters, another name for Tawheed al-Ilah is Tawheed al-Ibadah. So on the test, when I ask, well, what's another name for Tawheed al-Ilah, on the test, you can say Tawheed al-Ibadah. You get a good mark, inshallah. Tawheed al-Ilah is Tawheed al-Ibadah. Why do you think, anyone here, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have to bring Tawheed al-Rabb? Think about the meaning of Tawheed al-Rabb and think why. And think about the verses of the Quran that you've ever read, or the hadith that you've ever heard or read, or any of the stories about the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and think, why didn't the Prophet have to bring to the people Tawheed al-Rabb? What's the answer? Anybody?
They already believed in the Lord.
That's the answer. That's Ahsan, mashallah, that's the answer. They already believed that Allah was the Lord. They already believed that Allah was the Creator. Remember, Rabb means Creator, Owner, and Administrator, right? They already knew this. Allah says in the Quran, O Muhammad, Qul, He says to them, say, He says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you were to ask them, O Muhammad, he just said, oh, excuse me, he just said, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. If you were to ask them, O Muhammad, who created the heavens and the earth, they would surely, Allah said, they would surely say, Allah. So they knew Allah was the Creator, which is one part of division of three parts of being the Rabb. They already knew it. If you were to ask them, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah says in the Quran. If you were to ask them, who created them? Allah said, they would surely say, Allah. They already knew that. But what they didn't know was what?
He was the only one to be worshipped.
That he was the only one to be worshipped. They didn't know how to worship him. They worshipped him the way that they wanted to worship him, which was a manner that didn't please Allah and he didn't love it. Whether it be by words, actions, something hidden or seen, that's what they were doing. They knew that he was the Creator. But what they said was, oh no, Muhammad, no, this oatmeal idol that I made, or this idol that I made out of bait, or this idol that I made out of wood, we only pray to this to get closer to Allah. We don't really worship it. We just, you know, use it to get close to the big elad. We use the little elad to get close to the big one. See? Yes.
That's the same thing that they told Ibrahim when they had
the same. It's the same thing. And that's why Allah continuously sent every prophet saying the same thing. Chapter 22, verse 25. What Allah said. This is their da'wah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رُسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we sent no messenger before you except that we inspired him to say, there is nothing worthy of worship as a ilah except me. So worship me. All the prophets said the same thing. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا, Allah says, from before the time of old, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ مِنْ قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. We have never sent any messenger. And it also means, brothers and sisters, which we'll come to when we get to the study of the prophets, that also means somebody may say now, oh, that verse only says we have sent no messenger, but it doesn't say we haven't sent any prophets. So see, they try to get slick. Some people get real stupid and try to get real slick and say, well, that verse only says we have sent no messenger. Except that he's inspired to say, there's nothing worthy of worship at least except me, so worship me. But remember, Allah is infinitely wise. Why did he say Messenger? Allah could have said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ نَبِيٍّ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ. We have not sent any prophet. Why do you think Allah said Rasul instead of Nabi? Why do you think he said Messenger instead of prophet? Anybody know?
Because that, nothing worthy of worship, that was the message.
Hmm?
That was the message that, whether it was a message or a prophet, that was the message that they brought.
No, that's not the reason. Anybody want to take a stab at it? Why did Allah choose the word Rasul instead of Nabi? Why did he say we have not sent any prophet instead of saying we have not sent before you any messenger? See, Allah, وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْقُرْآنَ فِي الْعَدَمِ. Allah has descended on the Quran just for no reason at all. And every single word, every single letter in the Quran is there for a reason. And Allah wasn't unnoticing. He wasn't unmindful and neglectful. He didn't say Rasul because he forgot to use Nabi. Or he didn't say Nabi because he forgot. No, Allah chose every single word for a reason. Why do you think so? Anybody? Put on your thinking kufis and your thinking timar and take a stab. Take a stab at
it.
No. No. And when we come to the study of messages and prophets, I'm only giving this to you now. I have sense the way I teach. I like to shoot stuff in there that you're going to get later, so it helps you clear up your mind on things you're going to get later now. Right? The reason why, and Allah knows the ultimate reason, but the reason why is because if Allah would have said prophet, that means that would leave the door open to say that there's a messenger. See, because every messenger is a prophet, brothers and sisters, but every prophet is not a messenger. I repeat, every messenger, in order for a person to be considered a messenger, let's say this is a door here, right? Well, this is the door. And this is another door. This is the door to messengership. This is the door to prophethood. In order for a person to get to this door right here, they had to come through this door. You can't be a messenger of Allah unless you was a prophet. But every prophet doesn't reach the stage of messenger. See? So when Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, we have not sent before you a messenger except that we inspired him to do this, this, and that. He come at all doors, all faces. See? So nobody can say now there's another prophet coming or there's another messenger. No. Because in order for you to get to this point, you had to have been this one. Mm. See? So by saying messenger, it means messenger and prophet. Mm. See? But if you said prophet, then somebody can come after that and say, oh no, so-and-so is a messenger to the Chinese people. So-and-so is a messenger to the black people. So-and-so is a messenger. So-and-so is a messenger. See? Mm. Wisdom. It's wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 22, the surah called Hajj, the pilgrimage, verse 25, if my memory serves me correctly, he said, we have not sent before you a messenger that we accept that we inspire him to say, La ilaha illa ana. There is no one, no ilah worthy of worship except me. And this is another proof that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is not the author of the Quran. This one verse is a proof that the Prophet, the words of the Quran, is not the words of the Prophet. What's the proof? Because he's saying, there is no one worthy of worship except me, so worship me. If the Prophet was saying that, if that was his word, he'd be calling people to worship him. And all the time that he was going through his mission, he was telling people he's not a God. I'm only a messenger. So this is a proof that these are the words of Allah. See? So this verse is dalil. It's dalil. It's a proof. It's evidence that the da'wah of the messengers and prophets was tawheed al-ilah. Tawheed al-ibadah. Not that they had to bring tawheed al-rab. We're not saying, brothers and sisters, that the messengers and prophets' da'wah is not tawheed al-rab. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the specific purpose that it was sent for, besides changing the morals of people and other things, and guiding them so they can go to paradise, is to teach them how to worship Allah. Not that there is Allah. Because everybody knew that there was an Allah, it's just that they directed their worship to Him in the wrong way. They made partners with Him, they dialed down the other things along with Him, etc. Is that kind of clear? Is it clear? Sister, is it clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's look at this definition again. We're going to name some types of worship based on this definition. Worship in Islam. Alright? Starting from the left. We did this before, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think we did.
We did this.
We did? I think
we did. At the end of a class.
That's what it was. That's what I'm saying. We should be doing this again. This is inshallah, we just, you know. But we mentioned some types of worship. Now, this is how I remember that we did it before, because I remember I started over here and we worked our way around. Salah, zakah, fasting, siyam, hajj, etc. Okay? So everybody should have these notes, right?
No, but it was at the end of the class.
That's right. We had a little bit of time left. We had a little bit of time. That's what it was.
So we didn't really write
it. Okay, so inshallah, you can, those people who weren't here, you can get it from the people who were here. You probably have it already. Okay.
Yeah,
so that means we can go on to the next thing, right? Because we don't want to deal with this right now, but this time it is when we already had it.
Yeah, I remember.
See, what happened when you said that it was more to it than just
death. Okay.
And we didn't get it. I mean, this is all we got.
Okay, now, since I guess that we didn't, did we deal with we dealt with the types of worship, right? Some types of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. we have a story in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which says that a companion, who he wasn't a companion then. His name, I don't know if I can use this before. His name was Adi, A-D-I-Y-Y, bin Hasan. Do we have this? You see the handle? Anybody see it? Adi bin Hasan. He was a Christian. He was a Christian. His sister accepted Islam. Radiallahu anha. May Allah be pleased with her. She was in Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's right. We did have it too, right? Tell the story. Okay, tell the story then. From your notes. Or from your memory or both.
Well, he had a silver cross around his neck.
He had a silver cross around his neck.
And the Prophet said, you worship it.
You worship?
Whenever your priest and rabbi. You
take that's right. He said, you take your priests and rabbis as lords besides Allah. They said, no, we don't worship them. The Prophet said, whatever they say is halal, do you say it's halal? He said, yes. He said, whatever they say is haram, do you say it's haram? He said, yes. So he said, so you worship them. And then the Prophet recited chapter 9, verse 31. He recited chapter 9 to him, verse 31. After that, he became a Muslim. Shortly after that, he became a Muslim. Alright? So, this means what? That means that obedience is what?
Worship.
Form of worship. Obedience is a form of worship. If a sister has a husband whose husband tells her, I don't want you to wear your khimar anymore. I don't want you to wear it. When you go to work to the hospital, take it off. You only wear it when you go to the medicine. In fact, I don't want you to wear it all anymore. Just throw it in the garbage. Alright? And that sister, out of her love for her husband and obedience to him, because they both obey their husband, right? She obeys him. She has just done an act that if she doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will not forgive her, and she may, and Allah knows best, end up in the hellfire. And that act is called as shirk. In love and transferred that obedience and love to someone other than Allah. Alright? If a man, let's say his imam tells him, you don't have to make fajr in Isha anymore. Don't make it. You don't have to make fajr in Isha anymore. Just make dhuhr, asr, and maghrib. If that brother obeys that imam in that, then he worships that imam. Because worship, a form of worship, is obedience. You obey that person, then you worship him. Just like you made sajda to him. Why? Because obedience is a form of worship. He has made something, Allah made obligatory, non-obligatory, just like Adi bin Hatim did when he came to the Prophet with the white, with the silver cross around his neck, and the Prophet said,
Whatever they say was halal, you say it's halal, right? Even though it's haram. Whatever says haram, you say it's halal. He says haram, even though it's halal. So you follow them in that, you worship them. And we mentioned other forms of worship. Fear, hope, intention, all these are forms of worship. Dua, jihad, seeking refuge. You know that there's some Muslims around the world, including in America, that seek refuge in things other than Allah. Out of their mouth, they say, "A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim." I seek refuge with Allah from the rejected shaitan. But at the same time they say it, they got a thing around their neck with a verse of Quran, and they think that thing protects them. They seek refuge in the ayat al-Kursi around their neck, or Surah Yasin. Yeah, this is a form of worship. Anytime you think that a necklace around your neck is going to protect you, then the Prophet said, whoever puts their trust thinking that this talisman is going to protect them, Allah will lead them to that thing to protect them. See? So you can't seek refuge in anything except Allah. You can't seek refuge with something that Allah created. Because seeking refuge, al-isti'adha, is a form of worship. Seeking help is a form of worship. And that's why we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You, Allah, only do we seek for help. And you, Allah, only do we seek for, or do we worship, and you, Allah, only do we seek for aid. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. We worship only you. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And you're the only one that we seek for assistance. It doesn't mean that if I ask a brother to come over and help me move my refrigerator, I'm worshiping him. Doesn't mean that. Because that's something that the brother has the ability to do. But if we ask a brother, if we go to a brother and make dua to him or ask him, oh, Ahi, help me go to paradise. Can you arrange for me to go to paradise? That's something that's out of his control. When you go to him and ask him for that, now he's doing something that you worshiping, doing something else. You worship other Allah. Which is Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. The belief in the oneness of Allah in His beautiful name and attributes. And perfect attributes.
About 45 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so
Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat. The belief in the oneness of Allah, in His beautiful names, Asma is names, and perfect Sifat, attributes, or perfect qualities, or perfect characteristics. Right? And the singular word for Asma is Ism. So if I say, what is your Ism? You say, Abdul Kareem. You say, Rafiq. I say, sister, what is your Ism? You would say, Fatima, Zainab, Jawaria. Alright? So, the singular is Ism for name, and the singular for attribute is Sifat. The plural is Asma, names. And the plural for attribute is Sifat. Okay. Is that clear now, sister?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, before we go on, I just want to mention something that's a preliminary statement. The Muslims, or I should say, yes, the Muslims are divided into three types regarding the belief in the name and attributes of Allah. I repeat, Muslims are divided into three types in terms of talking about the name, the belief in the names and attributes of Allah, the belief of the names and attributes of Allah. Muslims are divided into three types. All right, okay. What did I say?
Muslims being divided into three types when it comes to meaning to the name.
No, not the meaning. I didn't say the meaning. I said belief. I didn't say the meaning. I said belief. Belief. Different. Alright? When it comes to believing in the names and attributes of Allah, the Muslims are divided into three types. Type number one. Those who believe in the names and attributes of Allah, all of them. Those who believe in all the names and attributes of Allah. All of them. Now, I guess while you're writing, you're probably saying, well, what do the other ones believe in, right? But unfortunately, the second group believes in the name and without believing in the attributes. They believe in all the names, but they don't believe in any of the attributes. Just write it down. We'll come through this somehow. They believe in all the names. They believe in all the asma of Allah, but they don't believe in His sifat. They don't believe He has qualities. They don't believe He has characteristics or attributes. They just believe He has names. And the third and final group are those who believe in the names of Allah and what?
His existence.
Now we're talking about the names and attributes of Allah. Nothing to do with existence. We're talking about the names and attributes of Allah. There's only one logical conclusion that some agree to be.
Some.
That's the only thing left.
Number two is they believe in the names and not the attributes.
That's right. And number three, they believe in the names of Allah and some of the attributes. Alright? Okay. Now, sister, what is the Arabic word for name? One name.
The singular?
Yes, the singular. Ism. Alhamdulillah. What is the singular word for attribute?
Sifat.
Sifat. What's the plural word, Afi, for name? For name?
Asma.
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 Asma. Asma. Asma. And what's the plural word for attribute?
Sifat.
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 With a long A. Sifat. Not Sifat. Sifat. Alright? Now, we're talking about is Tawheed, Asma, wa Sifat. The belief in the oneness of Allah, in His beautiful name and perfect attributes. That He
is one. He has no partner. He has no partners whatsoever, no associates in his beautiful name and perfect attributes. And I remember years ago, and people still do it today, when I was a member of one of the famous groups who thought they were Muslims, we used to say, you walk around the streets of North, people still do it today. Oh, brother, Akif, what's your attribute? What's your attribute, Lord? You know? But what they really meant was, what's your name? And we'll see that they were making a mistake. They didn't really mean what was your attribute, they really meant what was your name. Alright? The word name in Arabic is ism. That's the singular. And attribute is sifat. Sifat, or quality, or characteristic. Someone give me the literal meaning of name. What is the meaning of name? The meaning of, not Arabic, the meaning. Explain to me what is a name, Tahi. What is a name?
Name is something that you give an object or a thing.
I mean, be a little bit more specific. You're 95% close.
My name is a...
Okay, go ahead.
Name is an identification of a person or a thing.
A little bit, now he didn't do technical, just make it more simplified. Yeah, go ahead.
What's it called?
That's what it is. A name is only something that something is called. That's all it is. What is an attribute or quality? Anybody?
Attribute is an ability or a skill that you may have.
No.
It's a characteristic.
It describes you or it. That's what it does. It describes you or it. Now, I'm serious now. I said this before. I want everybody to put on their thinking kufis and their thinking khimam. Because you're going to have to really think on this one. Because this part of Tawheed is real. You really have to think on this one. This belief that we have called Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat, brothers and sisters, you can't think on this one. This thing is very, very serious, and you have to really know. This will really show that you understand Tawheed. This particular aspect. The third system, the third category, Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat, belief in the oneness of Allah, His beautiful names and attributes. You really, really pay attention. I'm not saying be neglectful of the other two. But this one you have to really think, really hard. Because this is the one that a lot of Muslims are completely off Salat al-Mustaqim in. Muslims are so far off the path on this belief that they almost, some of them are not even Muslims anymore. That's how dangerous and serious this concept is for the Muslims' aqidah. Alright? Now, when something has a name, that's just as the sister said, it is something that something is called. But when something has an attribute, it is that thing that whatever you call it, is described by it. Now, listen very closely, very, very closely. Everything has a name. Everything. What did I say?
Everything,
brothers and sisters, has a name. Whether you can see it or cannot see it. Whether you can feel it or you cannot feel it. Whether you know it exists or you don't know it exists, it has to. It has to. It has to have a name. Wouldn't you agree? You wouldn't agree? What would be some dalil against what I said? Can anybody bring any proof against what I said to prove me wrong? That everything has to have a name? Anybody have any dalil? Dalil naqli or dalil aqli? Dalil from the Quran and Sunnah or dalil from your rational thinking? Anybody? Yes. Against the fact that everything doesn't have a name.
Okay, in the Quran there's an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything, it says that...
It's coming, come on with it, Rafi. Come on, it's coming.
All the knowledge, it's talking about the knowledge we are not going to know.
No, that's not an absolute proof that everything has a name. No. What's the proof?
That everything has a name?
What's the proof against me saying that everything doesn't have a name?
All right, let me ask you this. Is there anything in this room that you can't name? Even, no, is there anything in this room that doesn't have a name?
No.
Look around. Is there anything in this room that doesn't have a name?
No. Okay, is it when Adam, when he...
Allah says in the Quran,
وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي
Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ. He taught Adam all the names of things. Everything, he taught Adam the names of it. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he showed them to the angels. He showed them to the angels. Right? And he said, فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. Now inform them. No, inform me of their names. He told the angels, inform me now. I taught Adam all of this, the names of everything. Now, Allah said to the angels, now you inform me the names of them. If you're truthful. If you're truthful. What was he doing? A lot of stuff going on in this verse. But what one of the things he was doing was, he was showing that though these creatures called angels are in complete obedience to Allah, and as far as proximity is concerned, as far as closeness, they are closer than any human being can ever get. As far as this life is concerned. Right? Because angels go directly to Allah. Some of them. They fly directly to Allah. Right? Allah is showing that He created a creature from mud, from the ground, from clay, from water, from sperm, and He has now dignified this creature over angels. Because He taught them something, Adam, that He didn't teach the angels. Right? What did the angel say? What did the angel say when Allah says, فَأَنْبِئُونِي فَأَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Inform me of their names if you are truthful. What did the angel say?
Angel said, we only know what you...
قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Glory be to you, O Allah. We can only say, we only learn that what you taught us. What can we say? The only thing we can say is what you taught us. You didn't teach us that. And you are al-alim and al-hakim. You are the all-knowing and the all-wise. Right? The scholars of Quran, of tafsir of Quran, they say that when Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, that He taught Adam the names of everything, it also means, they say, that He taught them the sifat of everything too. Okay. He taught them the names of the things and their characteristics. So He not only knew the name of everything, that means He also knew the function, the characteristics and attributes of everything. Alright? Okay? So that also means that everything has a name. That means everything has a name. So even though you don't know what it's called, it definitely has a name. Alright? That's the first thing we want to mention. The second thing we want to mention is that sometimes a name has an attribute in it. Sometimes a name has an attribute in it. Sometimes, did I say all times? Sometimes the ism is a sifa at the same time. It's an ism and it's a what? A sifa. It's a name and an attribute. And sometimes it's not. It's just an ism and it doesn't give you the sifa. Sometimes the ism of the thing won't tell you the sifa. And sometimes it will. And then sometimes the ism won't even be the right ism. It's an adopted ism. It's an adopted, acquired name that doesn't show you the sifat or the actual name of the thing. Sometimes. I'll give you a story. When the European white man came to Australia, anybody know who the original inhabitants of Australia are?
Aborigines.
The Aborigines. Those real dark skinned people with the real wide nose and the straight kind of curly hair. Right? The Aborigines were met by the European white man. And when they came to that part of the country, they saw this animal. 4 feet tall, sometimes 5 feet tall, with a look like a big mouse. It's hopping around, and it has a pouch on the stomach. And inside the stomach, it carries its young ones. Right? And when the European white, this is true, brothers and sisters, when the European white man asked the aborigine through an interpreter, what is the ism of that animal? What is the what? The name of that animal? The aborigines told the European white man in the aboriginal language, whatever that language is, I don't know what it is, but whatever language they speak, they replied, kangaroo. Kangaroo. The white man left Australia, and to this day, we call that thing kangaroo. Does anybody know what kangaroo means in their language? Do you know? You know?
No.
Do you know? Do you know, sister?
No.
You don't know? That's the meaning of it. I don't know. The meaning of kangaroo in their language is I don't know. They thought that that was the name. But they said, kangaroo. Oh, so that's Nick, oh, kangaroo. But they actually were saying that we don't know the name.
Yeah.
The white man left, thinking that's the name of it. To this day, we call that animal by name. That's not really his name, but it is his name.
Mm.
And there's no cipher in that name. Right? No, that name can't give you any quality. And that's why sometimes, that's why I said sometimes, the name doesn't have a cipher. That's why sometimes you go to the dictionary of etymology, the deep roots, the origin of words. The science called etymology is the science of the root of a word, the origin of a word. And you'll try to find, go back way back, trying to find the origin of a word, and you can't find it. Because mistakes like this. You see? Something, the name of it, tells you the symbol. For instance, I can describe something to you. I can give you the quality and the characteristics of something to you right now. I can give you the effect of something right now and don't even have to give you the ism of the thing, and I guarantee you everybody in here will be able to name that thing. Without me giving you the name, if all I do is give you the symbol. But if I am deficient in my explanation of the effect, you may call it something else. I repeat, if I am lacking in the attributes or qualities of the thing that I'm not telling you the name of, you may call it something else. Why?
Because they have something that has the same characteristics.
MashaAllah. The reason why I'm going through all this is to prove, is to show you that Allah does it. That when you know the attributes of Allah, and the characteristics of Allah, and the qualities of Allah, the sifat of Allah, you can never confuse Him with anything in the creation. You'll never be able to confuse to say that something in the creation is also Allah through. You'll never be able to do that. Just from the sifat. All you have to know is the sifat, you don't even have to know the name. And you'll know it's Allah. See? But if I'm deficient, if I'm not telling you all the attributes of something, then you may not say it's Allah. Why? It's because a human being has attributes and Allah has the same attributes. The human being has names and Allah has the same name. I don't know if you understand. I told you, brothers, that this thing is real intricate. It's not, you have to really think about this. Does everyone understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Allah has names and we have names. Allah has attributes and we have attributes. What? There's a parachute bailout verse that excludes all of that. Laysa kamithlihi shay'. There's nothing like him. You see? So that's how we know that Allah's attributes are divine, unlimited, unrestricted. His names are divine, unlimited, unrestricted. But our attributes and names are not divine. They're not unlimited and they're not unrestricted. I'm going to say something right now. You give me the name of it when I give you the sifat or the attribute. It's round. It has bumps on it sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. It's porous on the outside. You peel it, and it's citrus the inside. And it's filled up with vitamin C. Now, what is this thing?
Orange.
Is it? Could be a lemon. Ah, could be a lemon. and it could be a grapefruit, and it could be a lime, right? Why couldn't you get the one that I wanted to? You don't even know right now what we're talking about. See? I haven't told you yet. But why couldn't you get it?
It wasn't enough detail.
It wasn't enough details in the area of effect.
Mm.
I didn't give you enough attributes to show you the totality of the thing. Now the color of it is orange. What is it? All right. You see? And it just so happens that this fruit, the name of it, and one of the attributes of it are the same. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that the name and one of the attributes is the same. But that's not the same thing with a line. But which came first? The name of it or the sifa? You sure? Are you sure that that orange was called orange afterwards? Or somebody looked at this, the attribute and then called it, or was called orange before somebody looked at the attribute of it? In other words, the color of it is orange, but are you sure that that's the reason why they call it that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
They might call it because of the color.
Right, but what makes you know that it's not blue?
Because,
you understand what I'm saying? What makes you know? In other words, the Arabic word for orange, anybody know the Arabic word for orange? See, because the English word is orange. But the Arabic word for orange, not orange, is burtokal. Burtokal is a word that in Spanish is Portugal. The way you say Portugal in Arabic is burtokal. So it could be that the origin of this fruit is from that part of the world. And then someone else came around and called it an orange. Could be. Do you brothers and sisters follow what I'm saying? I'm saying all of these things because this technique that I've developed is important, brothers and sisters. I think it's important. This is my own little thing. I think it's important to start out this way, so when you get to the names and attributes of Allah, things will be real, it'll be crystal clear, I'm telling you. It'll be crystal clear, because now you won't confuse things. You see? Because you'll know that when you talk about Allah's names, الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور. These are not attributes. Allah doesn't have 99 attributes. These are names. They're not attributes. They're names. Alright? That's kind of clear?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Now, look at the pig. That's enough time in the pig?
Yes.
Okay. Now, so the belief in Tawheed, that's now the fact. The belief in the oneness of Allah, His beautiful names and attributes. Alright? We have two verses. That's your Dalil. That Allah has names and Allah has attributes. The first verse, if my memory serves you correctly, is chapter 17, verse 110. This is the proof that Allah has Asma. This is the proof of what?
That Allah has Asma.
Asma, and Asma is what?
Names.
Names, plural. Allah has names. Alright? This is the proof that Allah has names. And what does this verse say? Chapter 17, verse 110, it says, قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى. Say, Allah says to Prophet Muhammad to tell all human beings, make dua, call on Allah or call him Ar-Rahman. But whatever name you call him, to him, or whatever you call him, to him belongs the most beautiful name. So that means it's the proof that Allah has names. This is a general statement. He didn't say how many, he just says he has names. Alright? This is a proof that Allah has names. That's your verse. That verse, you have to memorize that verse. Either in English or Arabic. Doesn't make any difference. Alright? The proof that Allah has attributes is chapter 30, verse 27. Is this the proof that he has? He's fast. It's the proof of what? The proof of what?
That Allah has kifayat.
That Allah has kifayat. Alright? In this ayah of the Quran, the surah called Ar-Rum, the Romans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقِ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He it is who produces the creation. And then he reproduces it. And it's easy, extremely easy for him. He, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And to him belongs the مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. They translate it as the sublime similitude. But the meaning of it, of this, that statement in the Quran, is to him belongs the perfect attributes. That's what the meaning of it is. Al-Mathalu al-A'la means As-Sifa Kamal. As-Sifa Kamal. Or As-Sifatin Kamal. Or Akmal. This statement is the proof that Allah has perfect attributes. The translation they say is sublime similitude. I don't know what Yusuf Ali says. In the pickball, it says sublime similitude. But the meaning of it is perfect and complete attributes. This is your proof. Your bailout verse has to go along with this. Chapter 42, verse 11. There's nothing like him. He is a Sami'ul Basir. He is the hearer, the seer. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-Sami'ul Basir. Chapter 42, verse 11. There's nothing like him, and he is the hearer, the seer.
Well, when did they get that theory that he only had 99
attributes? We're going to come to that. Inshallah. We're going to come to that. Okay. Any questions about this before we go on? Okay. In Islam, in the Islamic law and Islamic theology, there's a rule for everything. Brothers and sisters, it may sound very technical, but it helps when you know the rules. If you know the rules of the game, it helps you a whole lot. Because why? What's one of the reasons that it's a benefit to know the rules of the game?
So you know the boundaries, so you know how to participate.
And
other people will make up their own.
And you won't make do anything wrong. So you won't commit any violations. There's a rule for everything in Islam. Tawheed, fiqh, everything. There's rules for it. Okay? Arabic language is rules. Okay? The first rule for us in our belief in the oneness of Allah and His beautiful name and perfect attributes, the first rule, rule number one, is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can say this in any words you want as long as you don't deviate from what I'm saying. Any way you want to put this, you can say it. That whatever Allah says in the Quran about Himself and what the Prophet alayhi salam said in an authentic hadith about Allah, whatever Allah says in the Quran, not the Bible, the Quran, about Himself, and whatever the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says about Allah and the authentic hadith, we stick to what Allah and His Prophet said about Allah, and take the meaning of it from its outward, obvious, apparent meaning in the Arabic language. We don't say it doesn't mean that. We don't say it doesn't exist. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Himself in the Quran, whatever the Prophet alayhi salam says about Allah in an authentic hadith, whatever that Arabic word is, we take the word that is describing Allah or talking about one of His names or the Prophet describes Him, literally. We take it literally. Is that clear? That's the first rule, brothers and sisters. In other words, to make a long story short, we stick to the text. You see? We don't improvise. Is that kind of clear? Okay. Now, what is the reason why, brothers and sisters, we stick to the text? Yes.
So you want to, you don't want to bring your own ideas into it.
You wanna, that's one very, very good reason. What's the other reason?
It could be like the sister said, to make, keep us from making mistakes.
All that's true. What's another reason? Yes, but what's another reason? All this is right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're all wrong. That's getting closer. What's another reason? Anybody?
Those are the sources that we have. Those are our sources.
What's another reason?
Love seeks the truth.
What's another reason? Anybody want to have another reason?
A part of the
Iman. A part of Iman? Right. What's another reason? I'm listening.
Allah is the sole possessor and knowing what he's revealed.
That's the closest answer to the one I want. That's not the answer, but that's the closest one.
What did he
say? Say it again.
Allah is the sole possessor and of knowing what he revealed.
Yeah, and there's a key word in here what gives you the almost get close to the answer. The word is revealed. The answer is after all the answers that you before all the answers you gave comes after the answer that I'm looking for. If I said to you, your name is what?
Qayyum.
I said, Brother Qayyum, your sister did so-and-so, and she's so-and-so. She's like this. But this is your blood sister. Alright? You say, no, she didn't. No, that's not her. No, she doesn't do things like that. I know she doesn't do things like that. I'm telling you, man, she does this. Who has the right to speak about their sister between the two of us? Who has more right? You think you should, right? Why? Okay, now, who would know her between the two of you better? Between you and your sister, who would know her better? She knows herself better than anybody. That's the reason why you cannot say anything about Allah other than what He or His Messenger said. Because Allah knows Himself better. So how can you say the things that Allah is saying about Himself, that's not really what it means? You see? How can you say that? You implying that you know Allah better than He knows Himself. He says He has a hand. In fact, He says He has two hands. Now for you to say Allah doesn't have hands, you are saying that you know Allah better than He knows Himself. That's what you said. But how can you have a hand? What do you mean I can have a hand? How can you have a hand? How can you have a hand? I'm a human being. So what? Just a human being, that means you gotta have a hand? A clock has hands. Not human. Am I right or wrong? Huh? Don't clocks have hands? Don't clocks have a face? Oh, brother, no, you shall be funny now. But what do you call it then? What do you call it? You call it a face. What do you call the face in Arabic of the clock? Wedge. What do you call a person's face in Arabic? Wedge. What do you call Allah's face in Arabic? Wedge. Same word. Allah has a face. I have a face. The clock has face.
Allah has hands. I have hands.
The clock has hands. But laser commitment, he shaped. There's no hands like Allah's hands. There's no face like Allah's face. There's no feet like Allah's feet. There's no eyes like Allah's eyes. But don't say he doesn't have them. Because he says he has them. And the Prophet, in authentic hadith, in Bukhari, in Muslim, in Abu Dawud, and other places, he says he has them. For you to say he doesn't have them, you're a coward. You become a coward. It's time for you to make tawbah. We can't pray with you anymore. If you die, you can't wash, we can't wash your body, shroud it, or make two four-check beads. You're a coward now. If you say Allah doesn't, three types of Muslims, those who believe in all the names and attributes, those who believe in all the names and none of the attributes, those who believe in all the names and some of the attributes. Only one of them is right. The ones who believe in all the names and all the attributes. If you say that the hands doesn't really mean hands and it means power or strength, it doesn't make you a kafir, but you're getting close to it. You're getting close to it. If you say that the face, but Allah says he has a face, if you say it doesn't really mean face, it means character. You see? Now you're saying something that Allah didn't say. You don't have the right to take the Arabic word and change the meaning, even though the meaning is also character or face. Because why? Allah didn't give you permission to talk about him in a place where he didn't say it about himself. You don't have the right. That's the reason why we stick to the text. We stick to the text without ta'yid, without tahreef, without tamthil. Alright? And we'll come to the explanation of these meanings. Inshallah. But before we do that, we want to give a chapter of Quran. Chapter 7, ayah, or verse 33. This is the reason why we cannot say anything about Allah that he didn't say about himself. Or what his prophet didn't say, alayhi salatu wasalam. We know that in Islam we have five types of laws. In Islamic law, there's five types of laws. There's farz or wajib, which is obligatory. There is haram, which is prohibited. There is mustahab, which is highly recommended. There is makruh, which is highly disliked. And then lastly, number five, we have halal, which is permissible. Alright? Or permitted. To speak about Allah without knowledge, which one of those five laws comes into play?
Haram.
Haram. Haram. And the proof, your dalil, naqli, your transmitted evidence, is Surah A'raf, Al-A'raf, chapter number 7, verse 33. It says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ مَنْ قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.